You're listening to the Transform Your Nutrition Podcast with your hosts, Rebecca Heald and Jeff Ash. Our purpose is to help individuals and families transform their relationships with food and develop healthy bodies, minds, and attitudes, all without restriction, guilt, or shame.
Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Yeah. Good morning to you, but good afternoon to us.
I guess we did, since we jumped in at 12:02 your time, it technically is afternoon. So one of these days we need to start at 11:59 your time, and that way I can say good morning and it technically will still be morning for you too.
Well, we can do that. Yeah. We can start even earlier if you like, if you want to get up even earlier. But no, thank you for joining me again today, Jeff. Mm-hmm. It's great to see you as always. Lovely weather here in the UK. What about there?
Oh, yeah, it's been really nice lately. Yeah, so the weather is finally cooling down. And it's in the, mid-60s in the morning, which is comfortable, definitely. Yes. And not getting too hot in the afternoon, so.
Cool. Well, it's not normally this warm this time of year, but I'm not going to complain. Anyway, thank you very much, yes, for joining me, Jeff. And thank you, anybody who is watching, whether you're watching now live or whether you are watching the replay. Either way, we would love you. We'd love to know that you're here right now or that you're watching later. So please do comment, say hello, just send us a wave. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Duncan.
Yes, hi.
And if you're watching the replay, please do also comment hashtag replay. We would love to know who is watching. Please do. Whilst we are going to be going through some, I suppose it's a bit of a mini training today, because we're going to hopefully provide you with some value. It really would be great if you could share your experiences in the comments. Let us know anything that is going on for you right now, because we would love to be able to comment or, you know, provide some advice and guidance as we go along. But hopefully we will be doing that anyway. So today's topic is all about self-sabotage and what it is, what we can do to overcome it. And also, I guess, really, it's about recognizing self-sabotage, because a lot of us find that we are doing it, but we don't always recognize what it is or why we're doing it. So I think that's really, really important. So we're going to talk about some ways that you can do that and also help you to figure out how to overcome it. Now, of course, we are talking about self-sabotage when it comes to health goals, when it comes to weight loss goals, etc. But of course, some of the strategies that we are going to be discussing could be applied in any other area. So it would be of value to anybody who finds that they are self-sabotaging for any reason. Is that okay? Would you agree with that, Jeff?
Yeah, definitely.
So let's get started and let's talk about what self-sabotage looks like. So obviously, if you are sabotaging yourself, then the chances are you're not making any real progress with what it is that you're trying to achieve. So I don't know about you, Jeff, but things like when I hear clients say things like, I exercised this morning, so I've earned some pizza, or mm-hmm. I'm really stressed after a rough day and chocolate helps me to relax, or I can treat myself, it's the weekend and I was good all weekend, all things like I ate something bad and I've messed up now, so what's the point? They're all, for me, red flags that somebody is potentially stuck in this self-sabotage cycle. What would you, anybody who's watching, because the other thing is that very often people don't realize, like I said, that they're doing it. People think mm-hmm. that they are just being healthy or being conscious. Yeah. But actually, they are potentially sabotaging themselves. So any of those things there resonate with anybody who is watching? Is there any you can add? What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, definitely. Those are really common things that when I hear those things, then exactly the same thing. I had a client this week that said, the manager brought in pizza, and so he said he ate 15 breath mints before he finally was able to suppress his desire to eat the pizza. And then he said he didn't he said, so I didn't eat the pizza, but I ate 150 calories of breath mints. And I'm like, we've been working together for a year. And I thought, wait, I have never even remotely told you to do anything like that. And in fact, I've told you the exact opposite. I've told you eat the stupid pizza, eat a slice,
yeah,
you know, whatever it is, and then move about your day. And so fortunately we have a check-in call today because I need to explore this, because there were a couple other things that came up in that conversation. And you know, it sounds on the surface like he's doing something noble and good with being good on his diet. But in fact, I think he's sabotaging himself with this mindset and this mentality that and the reason was he didn't know how many calories were in the pizza. And that, again, that's something else that I still don't emphasize with this particular person at all. But yet this dieting mindset that had come in from his years of being involved in that space just trickled in there. And now it's definitely sabotaging his mindset and his mentality and the progress that he's made up to this point.
And I think that's a really good point, because I think this is exactly the theme that's going to run throughout this session, hopefully, because I think it is all about what goes on between your ears, isn't it? It is all about mindset. And,
yeah,
you know, sabotaging on your health efforts, it is more than just cheating on your diet, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think what people fail to realize is that it happens when you set goals that you can't meet for whatever reason. And we'll dig into this a little bit more. And also as well, and this is a real biggie for my clients who are just like, oh, I just sabotage myself every evening when I go and I sit down and I eat X, Y, Z, or, you know. And I think the biggest issue I find with the clients I'm working with anyway is that they're not giving themselves praise or encouragement when they deserve it. They're not recognizing the progress that they're making, or they're just focusing on maybe the mistakes, let's say, that they're making. Mm-hmm. And it is, and like I said, it's so much more than just cheating, isn't it? Or falling off the wagon, or things I hate, it's phrases that I hate. But yeah, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. It's much more than those things, for sure.
And I think, what for you then, Jeff, would, I mean, we've spoken a little bit about how we can identify self-sabotage, but what for you does kind of characterize somebody who is self-sabotaging? What kind of things would you notice in a client?
Definitely feelings of guilt around different things that they're doing. I think that those, it's one thing to say, okay, you know what, I didn't make the best decision in this particular case. I learned something about myself. I learned something about how different things affect my body, how different foods affect my body. And so now I'm going to make some changes and move forward. You know, that's kind of a positive way of responding. But when I see it happen with more guilt involved or shame and, I can't believe I did that. And all of those kinds of things where they think that feeling bad about what they've done is maybe a good thing, because I think that that's often what's communicated. We're given the idea that we should feel bad about it so that we can make some change. You know, we gotta own up to our mistakes and push through it and have more willpower and more, show that determination to stick to our goals and all of that kind of thing. And in fact, I think I often see that as a way of self-sabotaging yourself, instead of just saying, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. It's a learning experience. You didn't completely derail yourself by eating a piece of pizza. You know, in that particular instance, eating that pizza that you couldn't track or that you didn't have any idea how many calories it was, you know, eating it and saying, oh, I had a piece of pizza. I don't know how many calories it is. I'm going to continue the rest of my day as I had planned. I'm not going to say, oh, well, I couldn't count the pizza, so, you know, screw the whole day and I'm just going to eat ice cream and cookies all day or whatever. So, I think it really is that mindset.
And I think that that's a massive part of it, Jeff. And I also think as well, you know, one of the biggest kind of indicators for me is how people, and very often this is the case when people, you know, when people can lose weight, they're careful for a while, they know how to lose weight, and they manage to improve their fitness, but then gradually they revert back to their old ways. Now, that is so, so common with so many people. They think that they've been successful. They think that they've achieved what they want to achieve, and then they go backwards. Now, for me, there is some self-sabotage going on. And like I said, it's not about the habits or the behaviors. I mean, it is, but it's much more to do with what is going on here than it is the fact that you can't stick to a routine or you keep breaking those habits that you've tried so hard to implement. Because if what you're thinking doesn't align with what you're doing, then there is an issue. And also as well, if you're constantly thinking that this and you're just doing this for the end goal, rather than thinking you're doing this as a lifestyle change, again, that's where self-sabotage comes in. Because let's be honest, okay, you know, everybody, you know, clients that come to me, they know what to do. They do know what to do. As much as they say that they don't, they know what to do deep down, but they just can't seem to do it. Nine times out of 10, they've done what they wanted to do in the past. And, you know, and something has worked for them, but they've not been able to stick to it. Yeah. And so many clients feel like they could write a book on dieting. They could write a book on weight loss. But, you know, they just can't seem to be consistent and they just can't seem to act or, you know, on the things that they know that they need to do. And again, this is probably because something is going on in on a much deeper level. I mean, I was talking just this morning to a client about this, about how there is such a gap between knowing what to do and actually doing it. Yeah? Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that it ultimately comes down to making changes on the outside and behavioral changes. So, but without changing what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mindset, your thought process. You're focused on behavior change without a mindset change. And that can be something that, you know, that's one of the things that when you go through therapy or counseling, that behavior change is an aspect of it, but the behavior change should come as a result of the change in your head and your heart. We see that in marriage counseling. We see it in, you know, for anybody out there who is a religious person and part of that, you know, in the church and in counseling. You know, I speak because I used to be a children's pastor. Often we would not focus on the behavior change aspect because we're like, well, it doesn't really matter if you just change your behavior if your mind and your heart aren't changing. And the same kind of thing, you know, in a marriage, if the person just said breaks off their extramarital affair, but they don't change what's going on in their heart or what actually was the root cause for why they decided to go that route, then it's probably going to happen again. And the same thing with dieting.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. It's so easy to jump from one diet to the next. Mm-hmm. But if you don't change your thinking, if you don't change your thought process, you know, you're going to slip back. You're going to go back to where you were. So yeah, it's so easy to kind of, jump from one diet to the next, to start tracking your calories, to start restricting without ever sticking to anything. And like you just summarized there, Jeff, I think your success or your lack of success fundamentally comes down to your mindset. It comes down to psychology. You've touched on it there. And it does come down to habits. But those habits almost are the tip of the iceberg once all of the other, the mindset and the psychology stuff has been dealt with. Does that make sense?
Habits have to align with your values and your core beliefs. Otherwise, at some point, they're going to fall apart.
I mean, I don't know if I should share this really, but, you know, I've been working with a client recently and this client made amazing progress, superb progress in a short space of time, managed to lose a lot of weight, feel a lot better, was eating a lot better, and then kind of was like, oh, well, that's okay. You've done what you needed to do, Rebecca. And I'm like, no, how many times have you been here before? Okay, you know, how many times have you had those quick, easy wins and you felt great, but then you've slipped back? If we don't do some mindset work, if we don't do some, you know, if we don't work together when you end up slipping back into those bad habits or when you face, if you don't do that, then what you've just done over the last few weeks is not going to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is again, so many times people are like, well, I've managed to do it. I've gone off and I've done my shake diet or I've done this and I've done that. I've lost the weight. And I'll always sit back in the wings and it will be like, okay. But if you don't do that work, you know, that obviously I know that you and I both do, Jeff, with clients to coach them through any of the barriers that come up, to coach them through the reasons why they could never stick to it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And those reasons are always very individual. They're specific to an individual. Yeah. And it's all based on experience. It's all based on, because you've got to remember, whatever you've done over this last few weeks or these last couple of months or these last 6 months even, you know, even if you manage to lose weight and keep it off for a year or two, if you don't keep it off long term, if you then revert back to old habits, you know, the mindset change hasn't happened, has it? And it's really, really hard. I mean, I was talking to a friend about this as well recently, because she was like, you know, I really believe in what you do, Rebecca. She said, but I can just see, you know, if someone turned around and said, oh, you know, you can have a quick win before you go on your holiday to Ibiza, you can go on a shake diet, or, you know, or you can do the alternative. Most people would just go, oh, I just want the shake diet, because they're not willing to put the work in. They're not willing to maybe get a bit uncomfortable with somebody. They're not willing to really dig deep. And I get, you know, I get that it's a lot of the time people aren't in that place to do that. But what's the alternative? The alternative is that you stay stuck in this cycle that is making you probably miserable in the long run, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Duncan said way of life rather than diet. He's asking that as a question.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, what do you mean by diet as well? Because, you know, a lot of people will talk about diet and they think of it as a restriction. They think of it as, you know, I've got to stick to my diet, you know? And no, you know, your diet, everybody has a diet. And everybody's diet should be personal and unique to them. Okay, yeah. But unfortunately, this word diet has been bastardized, hasn't it? And it's about restriction. It's about willpower. It's about only eating the right things. I was digging deep with a client about this yesterday, and he was like, I can't understand why I'm snacking in the evening. I think it's just, you know, a habit. And I'm like, well, you think it's just a habit, but let's look at what's going on in the day. Well, I think I eat well in the day. And he told me what he was eating in the day. And I'm like, actually, you know, there's not enough protein there. There are not enough carbohydrates there. Okay, so it's not about, you know, it's not about restriction. It is about, you know, it's about finding the balance that is right for you. And it is a way of life, Duncan. Again, I had a meeting with a client this morning, who's struggling with binge eating. And she's also struggling with sleep massively. She's struggling with anxiety. It's affecting her sleep. We spent all this session today talking about how she can improve her sleep. We barely spoke about food. Because if she doesn't nail the sleep, the food is not going to, you know, her diet is not going to get any better.
Right.
And sorry, that's going a little bit off track. It's not talking about self-sabotage, but it's talking about a lifestyle.
Yeah, and, well, I think that...
A short-term solution to, Duncan? Mm-hmm. You know, a short-term solution to what? Because, you end up back at square one. So is it a short-term solution so you can wear that bikini or get into that suit for a holiday? How about just trying to find balance?
Sorry. Yeah. Well, and one of those things too, with these short-term solutions that you find, and I think I've mentioned this before when we've talked about this, but I did one of those 12-week transformation challenges at bodybuilding.com a number of years back, and where basically the goal is to get as ripped as you can. And then you go back to pretty much, you go back to your old way, and then you wait till the next transformation challenge and everybody gets on board, and then you get ripped again and so forth. But one of the things that I really found through that was that I was really happy with the results that I got, but they weren't sustainable.
Yeah.
So I got there and I was very lean. I had veins, visible veins on my abs. And I had, you know, very lean. And I was like, wow, I like this. This is kind of how it reminded me of when I was back in high school in my early 20s, when I was rock climbing 7 days a week. And now I'm, you know, 50-year-old with a job and that kind of thing. And so, but what happened is that when you go back and I put on, I don't know, 5 or 10 more pounds, and I still had very visible abs, but you look at them and you're like, oh, I've got some fat coming on. So your whole mindset is shifted. And so really, when you do these short-term solutions, in quotes, you can't see it if you're just listening, but I often see that as self-sabotage, because yeah. What it does is it puts you in a position to now where you're looking at your body in a state that you can't maintain reasonably. And now as soon as it changes a little bit, now your mindset is that, oh my gosh, I don't look as good as I did, even though, from the outside looking in, everybody else would still think that you were just in amazing shape. And it's something that had I stopped there, I would have been happy with being there. But because I went even farther, now I'm not happy with where I would have been happy before.
Yeah.
And so you can get your mind in these weird positions where you start to see your body in a different way that doesn't really align with reality because you went to a place that is not sustainable for you.
Yeah. And again, this takes, and you know, it resonates so much with, you know, it does completely. And the thing is as well, is that when you diet to that extreme, it changes the way you think, it changes the chemicals in the brain, it changes mm-hmm. the way you see things, you know, and you're not able to see things as rationally. But then on the other hand, there is also as well this society's expectation. You know, we all think that we have to look a certain way, and you're never going to be happy if you're constantly chasing that. And again, it digs deep to why are you doing this? What is going on? You know, what is, you know, how is what you're doing going to align with what you really want? And you know, sometimes the ideal weight that we think we should be at is never going to be achievable in the long term. Now, somebody right. said something about, I agree, balance is key. And I mean, again, this is another topic, but it is key. However, whenever I say to a client, and who I can't see who commented that, it doesn't come up, it's just a LinkedIn user, what does balance mean? Because whenever I ask a client this, so I just need to find balance, and they turn around and they go, it means only eating bread once a week, or it means not doing this, or it means, and it's always like, no, you know, again, even the word balance, people have completely misconstrued. Mm-hmm. Okay. And yes, absolutely. Child obesity is a big issue. Okay. And we would love to do something. Jeff and I always talk about,
yeah, we do.
Starting these discussions about doing a program, because we would love to do something. We would love to, but it starts with parents. Because again, you know, and I've been talking to people recently about when I did my post about leaving, you know, the clean plate rule and leaving something on your plate. And this is something that resonated with so many of you, because so many of us are conditioned to believe we've got to finish everything on our plate. So then we pass that message on to our children. And then, you know, we are literally, you know, we are being mini Hitlers to our children. We're not allowing them to have that freedom to trust their own bodies. And when you don't have that freedom to trust your own bodies, you're going to get stuck in this cycle that, I'm being honest, the majority of people seem to be in, where they're just not comfortable in the bodies that they're in. They're not comfortable in the food choices that they're making. And yeah, if we don't get it right for our children, then this is just going to continue, isn't it? And it is about digging deep. It is about questioning your values. It is about, I do it, you know, and I do, it's difficult. You know, even somebody who is well read in this finds it difficult. You know, I was quite open about this recently when we've gone right off on a tangent, but you know, about my son, who is, I'm struggling with him. He's coming up to 11, hormones all over the place, and you know, he's just not eating. He just wants to eat, he doesn't want to eat his vegetables, he doesn't want to eat his meat, he just wants to eat, I wouldn't say he wants to eat play food all of the time, but he's just not eating a great balance. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really hard for me to not put pressure on him. But I know that if I put pressure on him, it's going to be worse, and he's just going through a phase.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to go back to this thing about dieting and a way of life, because at the end of the day, it brings me on to the point that no diet that is solely based on food you eat will help you figure out why you've gained weight in the first place, or why you can't stick to something. A diet that focuses just on food doesn't fix those emotional, mindless, stress-induced eating episodes. It won't fix habitual and compulsive eating. Basically, a diet will not get to the cause of why you are stuck in the cycle that you're stuck in. Mm-hmm. And when you go on a diet, you're trying to do far too much at once. So you're stressing yourself out, which is not going to help you stick to a diet either. So it's so multifaceted and it's so complex.
Yeah. And I think that one of the buzzwords that we hear a lot now is, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. I think that sometimes that even that idea is still, it's still missing the root of the issue that resulted in you being where you are today and the issues that you're struggling with. So this idea of it's sort of masking it by calling it a lifestyle when really it's just it's still focused so much on the food that you're eating and not the mindset going into that those changes. And so I think we have to be careful too when we think about, you know, say, okay, I'm not on a diet. This is a whole lifestyle change, but again, it's just another way of putting a different label on the same thing, I think.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. That is a really, really great point, because I think the thing is the dieting industry is clever, you know, and I sit there and I listen to adverts from Weight Watchers and what they say, and it's like, oh, they, you know, and they're coming out with all the right things, aren't they? But we know it's not, you know, it's a lifestyle, not a diet. Is that what you say? And, you know, it's just,
yeah.
Remember, just bear in mind that this is all really clever marketing, you know? And one thing I wanted to get onto as well is that from what I tend to find as well, and again, this isn't explicit to dieting or health, this is all other areas of life, I think, is that sometimes self-sabotage comes down to being scared of success. Mm-hmm. So if you're successful, then a number of fears could be realized. So for example, if you are successful, then you won't, and you're an emotional eater and you overcome emotional eating, you won't have food anymore as an escape to quiet in your mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you'll have to deal with uncomfortable feelings. You know, you'll have to deal with that self-doubt, with that regret, with that disappointment, because you're not suppressing those feelings with food. Or maybe it's the whole thing of, once I lose the weight, you know, I will finally be able to do X, Y, Z. And that's almost a safety blanket that can prevent you from taking action on certain things. Because a lot of people go, well, once I've lost weight, I'll do X, Y, Z. Once I've lost weight, I will run that marathon. Once I've lost weight, I will finally, you know, feel great in all of my clothes, etc. But actually, that's quite intimidating, and it could be holding you back. And also as well, you know, things like, you know, once, if I lose the weight, I've then got to maintain this lifestyle. And do I really want to do that? Okay. And this does spill over into other areas of life. Absolutely. I mean, I'll be quite honest. And, you know, I know that there's things that I haven't taken action on because I knew that I was going to have to face bigger things, like even, you know, divorce, you know, walking away from a marriage that is unhappy. Sometimes the fear of what's the other side can be so overwhelming that you stay stuck and you keep mm-hmm. going round and round in the same circles. And these are real psychological roadblocks, but they're nothing that cannot be overcome. You know, these things can all be overcome, but a lot of people don't. So I guess fundamentally, and this is what you talk about, Jeff, all of the time, is getting to the root cause. To break from any pattern of self-sabotage, you need to understand why it is you are self-sabotaging.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Again, it comes back to that. Behavior change is part of it, but if you just focus on the behavior change, I remember I took a class in college, and one of the, I don't even remember what it was. It was a stupid class, but one of the things the instructor had us do was we were supposed to wear a rubber band around our wrist and all week. And every time we had a negative thought about I can't remember what it was exactly, but like a negative thought about our future or ourself or something, we were supposed to snap our wrist with this rubber band as like a way of trying to get these negative thoughts out of our mind. And it was like this weird little behavior change thing but it didn't deal with any of the root issues of why you were having these negative thoughts and why you kept essentially self-sabotaging yourself. It was just a way of masking that. And I think a lot of this stuff that, you know, you're talking about, these dieting and stuff like that, is often this way of sort of snapping your wrist with a rubber band and in many ways without avoiding that.
Well, that to me is just punishing yourself.
Yeah, you know? It was. Well, that's basically what it was. It was that little sting.
Bad. What's that self-esteem? I mean, I have heard of strategies where, you know, particularly in counseling and therapy, where you burn, you know, and I have got some clients to burn rule books or something like that. It's symbolic, you know, mm-hmm. but it is symbolic. But, you know, again, it's symbolic, but, and in and of itself, I mean, it can be a useful strategy, but in and of itself, I don't think it's enough. There needs to be other stuff that's going on, definitely. Yeah. And Duncan, and sorry, you were the one that commented as well before, weren't you? It doesn't always come up. Sometimes it just says LinkedIn user. But yeah, and not, a really, really good point there as well is takeaways and ready food culture do make, just remember as well, there are billions of dollars that are spent on finding the right combinations of foods that are going to make you feel addicted to them. You know, there's billions of money that is spent on marketing to, you know, subconsciously try and encourage you to eat, you know, lots of super processed food because there's lots of money in it. So absolutely, Duncan, it's not simple. It's not straightforward. And this is why, you know, it's so important that, you know, you should never just look at food. You know, this is why I know, and Jeff, you said this yourself. So many of the coaching sessions I have with clients are never about the food. They're about all the other stuff that's going on around the food. Okay. And what, you know, our culture, our society, our beliefs, etc., are all often kind of the issue and are linked to the root cause.
Yeah, I'd say less than 25% of what I talk about with clients has anything to do with food directly, like with like dietary recommendations or you know, changes in the diet and that kind of thing. It's all comes down to these different mindset and habit, and you know, we'll sprinkle in a little education here, and then that will cause them to start to rethink different patterns of things throughout their day and how they're thinking about the food. So yeah, it's really interesting.
And before we go on to talking about, I mean, you know, there's lots more that I could talk about. You know, I'm going to go on to hopefully some simple steps, some really simple steps to start to think about to help you overcome self-sabotage. But I just want to say that I think one of the biggest reasons that we tend to fall off track is because we're not sure that the goal we're working towards, like I said before, is actually going to make our lives better. And this is why I spend a lot of time digging deep with clients, digging deep to really help them understand, you know, their true values, their true beliefs, and their true why. Because if they don't feel that that aligns with what they're doing, it causes this inner conflict. And when there's inner conflict, we do the easiest thing of all, don't we? We do nothing or we stop or we hit a roadblock. You know, if you keep thinking that you're hitting a brick wall, you need to work through things. You need to dig deep and you need to find out, you know, what whenever I say to clients, what's your goal? What do you want to achieve? I want to lose weight or I want to feel healthier. I want to always have to dig deeper.
Yeah. Well, like getting a smaller body. If you have body image issues and you're not happy with your body and you're not comfortable in your own skin, getting smaller is not going to fix your body image issues.
No.
It may suppress them to a degree to where, you know, now you can fit into certain clothes that are a certain size maybe, but for most people, it doesn't resolve any of the body image issues that you have just to be smaller. You're still struggling with those same things because that's not the main issue. There's something deeper down than that.
Yes, because body image is, it's not even, you know, people think our body image is something physical or it's something. It's not. It's a paradigm. It's, you know, it doesn't, and it's, you know, your body image is, it's not, your body image, like you said, isn't going to just improve when you lose weight. It's not. There's other stuff. There's more, you know, I've seen clients that have worked with me that have not necessarily lost a lot of weight, yet their body image has improved massively. You know, my body image personally, you know, when I was thinner, you know, because it was all linked to my self-esteem and my self-worth.
Yeah.
You know, I had incredibly poor body image. And yeah, it really is. Body image is something that needs much deeper work, and it's a psychological thing. It's not linked to your body shape or size at all, or very rarely anyway. I don't have a single client where it is. You know, it is all about so much other deeper stuff that is going on, because again, what you see in the mirror is, you know, it's almost a story that you're telling yourself, isn't it? You're not always seeing what the reality is.
And I think that comes back to this whole self-sabotage topic, is that whenever we're doing things that are not ultimately addressing the issue, I think we're in many ways, we're self-sabotaging ourselves, or at least potentially doing that.
Exactly. Now, one of the first things, I want to go through three, if that's okay with you, Jeff, I want to go through kind of three steps that I often use with clients when they are self-sabotaging. And one of the first things is I ask them to list five reasons why they think their life will be worse off when they achieve the goal. And often it's, you know, they're a bit like, what, Rebecca? And it's like, well, we'll just think why, you know, what is it that you think might not be so positive? Okay. So things such as, I don't feel like it's possible. I'm a failure. I'm never going to be able to do it. Nothing works long term. And I keep failing and I just look an idiot. I don't want to tell anybody I'm doing this, Rebecca, because people just think I'm going to fail again. Or things like, you know, I'm scared of getting myself out there. I'm scared of, you know, getting out there, maybe of dating or of getting that new job. And I know if I lose the weight, I'll have no excuse anymore. Because this is the other thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go, when I lose weight, I can apply for that job. When I lose weight, I can go on that date. And so if that's the reason why you want to lose weight, then it's conflicting really, isn't it? And it means then you'll have no excuse to not get out there, because not getting out there has been your security blanket. Or as well, you know, I'm worried that if I lose weight, if I achieve my goal, I'm going to be miserable because I'm never going to be able to eat the foods I love and I'm always going to feel deprived. Or like I said earlier, you might think that, to achieve your goal, you've got to exercise for hours and hours every day. If those are beliefs that are very deep down, then you're going to keep self-sabotaging. So it's about listing those down. It's about digging deep. And because at the end of the day, our subconscious mind is so, so powerful. And it believes that rationalizing ourselves out of weight loss will protect us. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you know, we've got to remember that our bodies don't want us to lose weight. Our body wants us to be strong and fight another, another period of starvation, because that's what would have happened when we were cavemen. So our mind will try and talk us out of trying to lose weight. Okay. It just will. But once we can identify the real reasons, we can begin to counteract them. So how true are they? How true is it that nothing is sustainable? How true is it that, you know, you won't be able to eat the food you love when you achieve your goal? How true is it that you'll have to spend hours and hours at the gym?
Yeah.
It's about challenging those. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's often many of the issues that we address are these ideas that often people have, and that when we start to explore them, we find out that they're just not even true. You don't have to exercise for hours and hours every day to maintain a healthy body, and you don't have to get rid of your favorite foods. I mean, the people that we're coaching, we're encouraging them even through the process to eat their favorite foods. So
eating your favorite foods is probably going to make you more successful.
Yeah, like the client I mentioned the other day, I said, I told him to eat the pizza. He should have just eaten the pizza. And that, because we know that is one way of actually making this whole process something that is sustainable. It has to be something that's enjoyable and that includes these different things in your life.
Yeah. And it's about challenging those fears with that client. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so because that's the next stage. Once you've kind of identified what the fears are, it's about questioning the reasons, poking the holes in the logic, you know, so that you can remove the power, because those subconscious reasons will be having a huge power over you. And so once you can begin to rationalize them, you can begin to move on from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because how many times, you know, like the whole, I need to exercise hours every day. But then I have so many clients that come to me, oh, I'm exercising and I can't lose weight. I'm doing, you know, I'm in the gym 6 hours a day. I mean, that's it. You know, I'm running, I'm doing weights, I'm doing X, Y, Z. And it's like, well, you know, if your diet's not right, you know, if your mindset's not right, let's say, then none of that's going to work.
Yeah. Duncan had a great question here. See what your thoughts are on this. Can you still eat your favorite foods, but just convert them into healthy equivalents? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you can if you like, but my question there would be, what's the intention? What's the purpose? And
you know, fundamentally, we don't eat just to fill our bellies. Mm-hmm. Okay. We eat for two. We eat to be physically satiated and we eat to be emotionally satisfied. So if you're constantly, I remember doing some training once and someone was talking about their sugar addiction and how somebody had told them to go to, you know, to start eating low sugar or no added sugar jellies or something to help them try and overcome the cravings. And she was like, it just doesn't cut the mustard because fundamentally, you know, you need to enjoy the foods that you love within the context of a healthy, balanced diet. You know, and I had one client, just another case study, I had one client and he was like, oh, Rebecca, he said, I made a banana loaf. He said, and I actually made it the proper way. I didn't make it the low fat way. And he said, I ate like a quarter of what I would normally eat because you're satisfied. You know, when you're satisfied with the food emotionally, you're going to eat less. You're not going to be satisfied if you keep trying to go for healthier alternatives. And my question would be, why do you need to go for healthier alternatives? What's wrong? What do you need to start adding into your diet? You know, what's the reason for this? Let's look at the bigger context. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you feel that you need to have healthier alternatives, what are your basic meals looking like? Are you eating enough fruit and vegetables? Are you eating enough protein? Are you getting enough fiber? Okay. Yeah. Look at that before you think about trying to swap your chocolate for a Muller Lite yogurt, you know, or trying to change the crisps that you enjoy for rice cakes. In fact, I'm going to talk next week about snacking and about how when you try and change your healthier snack or when you try and change what you enjoy for healthier snacks, you will get bored of it. So how mm-hmm. what can you do? For me, it would be something like, if you enjoy eating crisps as a snack, great, crack on, eat the crisps, add a bit of cheese. If you enjoy eating chocolate as your snack, great, crack on, add some yogurt to it. If you enjoy having a protein shake, great, crack on, have a banana with it. Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's about the bigger picture, isn't it? I hope that's
yeah. Yeah, and I think that often we get in this mindset of thinking that this food is, quote, not healthy, and I should be eating healthy. And I think that overlooks something that we've talked about before, which is that health is much more than just the physical part of our body, and it's much more than the food that we put into it, like the nutrient density of that food. Health is, it includes psychological, emotional, social, all of these different aspects. And so to say that a food is, quote, healthy because you've stripped out the calories or you've removed the fat or you've replaced the sugar, in my mind, it's not necessarily healthy because it's not nurturing those other facets of health that maybe the full blown version of that food might. So, and also I think that it comes back to, you know, we were talking about reality and the truth of the matter. Pizza, that's a good example, or tacos. You hear people say, oh, I love tacos, or I want abs, but I love tacos too much. What's wrong with tacos? I mean, what is unhealthy with tacos? When you break it down into its constituent parts, there's nothing wrong with tacos. They're actually quite healthy, even from just the pure nutrient density and food perspective. The same with pizza. What's wrong with pizza? Yes, it has a bit more energy density. Yeah, I had it last night. And I didn't have a cauliflower crust pizza. I ordered the kind of pizza I like. But what is it? It's cheese, it's meat, it's vegetables, it's some bread. If you were to have all those things on the plate, you wouldn't and looked at it and you would say, oh, look at this nice healthy plate of cheese and meat and vegetables and some bread and stuff. And so I think it's often it's this mindset. It comes back to what we were talking about, that whole mindset. And I think this is actually one of those things that I think is how people self-sabotage themselves, is by trying to replace foods that they enjoy with a discount. This is discount pizza. Yeah, this is or ice cream. You're not going to satisfy that craving for that food. By having a diet version of it.
No, and healthier doesn't necessarily mean healthy. You know, it's actually, a Muller Lite. How is that? This is the other thing. People think they're having healthier alternatives. And 9 times out of 10, they're super processed. They're more processed because we think, oh, it says it's low fat. Oh, it's low calorie. you know? And so we go for something that is just empty calories or full of air. And I, Duncan, you've said something magic there, because you have an addictive nature, right? Now, when it comes to food, okay, there is no research whatsoever to suggest that food is addictive, okay? It's a behavioral issue. The research seems to show that it's a behavioral thing. It's a mindset thing. And research has shown, again, that the addictive feelings come down to restriction. So the fact that you're trying to restrict the foods, the fact that you're trying to replace them with healthier things is making you feel more addicted. I mean, don't get me wrong. It can feel really powerful. You know, feeling you're addicted to food is real. It does feel, you know, really, really powerful. But it's not like there's not a break. You know, it's like if you're addicted to cocaine or you're in, things happen, things change in your brain. That doesn't happen with food. It's psychological, it's behavioral. And I've helped so many clients overcome this feeling that they're addicted to food, this fear. Because you think you're addicted to food, you've got a fear about that food. You've got a fear of eating that food. And you need to overcome that fear.
Yeah. Have you ever eaten one Jaffa cake in a pack of 10? Good question.
If you've got a healthy relationship with food, you can do that. If you're not seeing those as bad, you can do that. If you don't, that's fine. Sometimes, I mean, I remember talking to one of my clients and he was like, my wife, I always say to people, you know, think about the one person that you know that's got the healthiest relationship with food. Yeah. What's happened with their weight in all the time you've known them? And I spoke to a client about this and he was, you know, he was really, you know, he used to do it. He was a real binge eater. And he said, my wife, you know, I watch her get one biscuit out of the packet and put the rest of the packet back. And I'm always like, how does she do that? And I was like, and the whole time you've known her, what's happened to her weight? And he's like, she's always been the same weight. She's always been quite stable. Whereas he's up and down, up and down. So yes, you know, when you can do that, you've cracked it, Duncan. When you can do that, you might not want to do that sometimes. But when
that's something I had to work through myself. For many years, it was if I bought mainly snack type food, sweets. If I bought a package of Oreo cookies or snack cakes, which is, you know, we have Little Debbie's, which is probably similar to what you're talking about there here in the U.S. But yeah, I get those, and I knew when I got them, I was going to eat the whole thing. So I had convinced myself that that was who I was. So I wouldn't buy them unless I knew that I was okay eating 10 of them or 6 of them or whatever came in the package or the entire package of Oreos. But then in working through all of this stuff through the using intuitive eating and really shifting my mindset, now it's not an issue. I mean, we got some ice cream sandwiches the other night, a 6-pack of them, and I could have easily eaten the whole thing. I mean, I have the stomach capacity to do that. I had one and then I put them back in the freezer and that was it. Last night, the pizza. I ate the amount that was for me. I had enough that I think we threw out 5 pieces. And the reason was because I also knew that the next day I wasn't going to enjoy that pizza as well. I don't like reheated pizza after it's been already cooked, heated when we brought it back from the place and then reheated the next day. I knew it was not going to be as enjoyable. It would have been just stuffing it down. And so I threw it out, because I knew I wasn't going to enjoy it to the extent that I should enjoy pizza. So yeah, it's very much a mindset thing, and it's something that can be developed and worked through for sure.
And Duncan, you know, I mean, I would love to unpick that phrase. I just fail miserably. You're setting yourself up there already. You know, it's you're not failing anything. You know,
nope.
you're really, really not. But if you're stuck, that is self-sabotage, right?
It is. Yeah. That's a summary. That's a summary of it. I think that's what diet culture and the diet mentality and what people in the fitness space, unfortunately, many, many of the coaches and fitness influencers, that's the message that they're giving you, is that when you don't adhere to your diet, when you don't stay on that weight loss trend, or if you regain the weight that you've lost, or if you don't lose weight, or if you don't do this or that, then you have failed, or it's a lapse in willpower, that you aren't determined enough. You just don't want it bad enough. you need to know your why, you know, all these little trendy things that are tossed around. And to me, it's just, it's just heaping more self-sabotage on yourself with that mindset.
And the thing is, if you're going to that packet of Jaffa Cakes thinking, I can only have one, I'm only allowed one, good luck with that, mate. Whereas if you go to that packet of Jaffa Cakes thinking, I can eat all of these if I want, you'll probably find you can only eat one. And
that's exactly what I did with the ice cream the other night. Yeah, I was like, you know, the last time we got him, I ate two in one night because I wanted two. But that was, yeah.
And you do have to go through. You do have to go through. And okay, why did you have rice and sardines? I'm wondering, is that because you wanted that? You enjoy that? Is that because you were trying to be good, healthy? It's all about intention. It's all about intention. And the thing is that sometimes you do have to go through a bit of habituation process. You do have to go through a honeymoon period sometimes with foods because you've restricted them so long. But if you allow them, eat those Jaffa Cakes, then feel bad, then restrict them, then eat the Jaffa Cakes, then feel bad, then restrict them, then eat the Jaffa Cakes. It's a constant cycle. How about we work on breaking that cycle, Duncan, you know? Exactly what my coaching offers. But anyway, sorry, I'm just mindful of the time because I did just want to go on to, so obviously, first of all, it's about writing down all of the reasons that you may fear, you know, what are the subconscious fears behind, you know, reaching your goals, okay? Then it's about kind of unpicking those, so challenging your fears. Then the next stage is to write down all the reasons, or I say list five reasons to keep it a smart target, list down the reasons why your life will be better once you achieve those goals. So things like, you know, I'll be healthier. I will and reduce my chances of getting, you know, certain health conditions, or I'll have more energy and more time. Imagine the headspace when you're not worrying about those Jaffa Cakes. You know, I'll have more time and energy for my family. You know, I won't hide away from the camera anymore because my body image is so poor. I'll be a good, this is a massive one for, you know, a lot of people. And this is one of the reasons why I was able to get myself out of the unhealthy relationship I had with food. It's being a good role model for your children so they don't repeat your negative food behaviors. Now, that's a difficult one. It's not easy, but the amount of clients I get coming to me because they don't want to pass on those, you know, that legacy. And also as well, you know, once you achieve your goal, you'll stop worrying about your weight, you know, because you'll find that happy medium, that happy balance. So it's listing all of the, so it's unpicking holes and fears that you probably are not recognizing right now. Okay, you're just thinking about, I'm going to feel great. I'm going to feel amazing when I lose this weight. And you're not recognizing those subconscious fears that are there, that your brain is making you experience because it doesn't want you to lose weight. Your body doesn't want you to lose weight. Then it's about listing the reasons why you will feel better once you achieve those goals. And that's a little bit about your why. That is connecting with your why. It's connecting with your deeper why. I know this whole connect with your why is a buzzword, but it is important that you connect with the real reason you want to lose weight. And you know, it is probably because you want to live a happier, healthier, more energetic life. You want to see your grandkids, you want to run and play football. You don't want to, I mean, I remember, you know, when I was really, really bad in my relationship, you know, I wouldn't have had the energy. I mean, look at my kids. I've got two boys. They are the most energetic boys I have ever met in my life. And if my relationship with food wasn't where it is, God knows, I would not be able to deal with them. You know, so these are all the reasons. These are all the driving factors that a lot of people, you know, really do want to tackle things. And until we identify and deal with the reasons we fear that success, we'll never be successful. Will we? And a lack of knowledge is these days, it's not knowing what's not good. That's not a problem. We can do, you know, so many of us are so educated on it. That's rarely the real problem. Even though clients will come to me saying, I don't know what to eat. I don't know. I've just finished one of my intuitive eating groups. And one of the things that they said that they really struggled with was not having guidelines or a plan. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, okay, so tell me what you ate today. Okay, tell me what your day looked like. And she explained what, and I was like, so bang there, you know, healthy. You knew exactly how to, I mean, she does now because, you know, we've been working together for a while, but I never gave her guidelines. I never gave her a plan because we all know what really we should be eating or what we should be focusing on. And when we try and, you know, when we try and rely on something external to give us that, we're just going down a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And this lack of consistent action is like go right back to where you started, Jeff, to what you said in the beginning. This lack of consistent action is all down to mindset. It's all down to what's happening in between those two ears.
It really is.
Sorry, I know I spoke, I waffled a little bit there. I wanted to get through it, but what, anything you want to add there, Jeff?
No, I think you summarized that really well.
I have to behave when I'm watching you two. Oh, is that why you had the rice and the sardine?
Yeah. Hey, just you want to know what I ate before we came on here?
Yeah, go on.
Have any idea? Well, I had, it's called a honey bun. I don't know if you have them there. My wife needed me to make a quick trip over to the gas station to pick something up for her because the grocery stores aren't open yet. So I saw that and was like, oh, I haven't had one of those in a long time. That sounds really good. It's basically, it's like a sweet roll that's covered in this icing. It was delicious. Oh,
okay. Sounds a bit like a cinnamon roll.
Yeah. So that's what I had while you were eating sardines and rice. but you know what? But I bring that up not because, oh, look at all the junk food that I can eat and blah, blah, blah. I don't do that. I don't eat that every morning. In fact, like I said, I haven't had one in a long time. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, that sounds really good. And so I had that. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I don't feel bad about it. I don't have to justify it. I didn't look at the calorie content. I didn't look at, oh, that sounds good, but you know what? I bet there's something else here that's lower calories that's sweet too. Maybe I can do that. And that's where the problem comes in with the mindset is that when we try and that's a way of self-sabotaging ourselves. Because if that really sounded good and I didn't eat it, then I know myself well enough to know that later on in the day, if I had just got something else instead, I would have probably ended up getting the thing tomorrow anyway, because it was in my mind and I thought that sounds really good. But because it sounded good, I ate it and now I'm moving along on my day and I'll probably have some scrambled eggs here in a little bit because I know that I need some that protein in addition to what I ate there if I'm going to be sustained well throughout the day, not because I need to be good, not because I need to undo it. I don't need to go to the gym and burn it off, you know, that kind of thing. So,
Duncan.
No, I didn't want another.
Did you want another? Duncan.
No.
I really, really want you to go away. And I had a client recently that I really worked on this. He felt like he was addicted to sweet carbs. And he was like, I can't just have one cookie. I'm having two. Do you really want another, Duncan? When you're saying, you know, when you've had something, are you really tasting it? Are you really slow? Are you really connecting what you're eating with how your body is feeling? Because a honey roll, three huge cookies, nobody, you know, no, a honey roll, you want that, but nobody wants two or three of them. Nobody wants, you know, three huge cookies. Nobody really does. You know, it comes down to this, what's going on? It comes down to challenging that mindset. And yeah, it's not easy work to do. But when the chances are you are satisfied when you just have that one, when your relationship with food is a healthy one. But what I want to say as well is that, and this is where people fall short, isn't it? Because the thing is that I do want to make the point that it is about listening to your body and eating intuitively. And like Jeff said, he knows himself well enough to know then if he hadn't had that, whatever he had was not going to satisfy him, because that would have been on his mind and he would have ended up getting it anyway. But what I also want to say is that it's not about shifting responsibility. You are still responsible for your health. Mm-hmm. And like Jeff just said, he's going to go and have some scrambled eggs later. I'm sure he'll have some fruit and vegetables at some point today. You know, it's not about not having responsibility for your health. You know, all of us should be focusing on as much fresh, unprocessed foods as possible. We should be. But we also should not be restricting. And our bodies actually function and thrive best when we are eating those whole unprocessed foods. But want to take you back, Duncan, to one of the things you said earlier about how our environment, our food environment, etc., it makes it difficult. It does. So why are you trying to, you know, we can't, you know, in an ideal world, nobody would ever eat processed foods. But we're not living in that world, Duncan. You know, we're not living in that world where it's not available. We're not living in that world where it's not everywhere around us. We're not living in that world where we're not going to crave it. So we need to work with it instead of against it.
Yeah. And I can say that in the past, I would have wanted another. And I very well might have eaten multiple items. But because I've worked through some of these different processes with intuitive eating specifically, where I've learned to really recognize my hunger. And one of the things, in fact, I did it again this morning, even though I don't always do it explicitly consciously anymore. Sometimes it's just subconscious. But this morning, I actually, when I was done, I kind of checked in with myself and said, how do I feel now? Am I satisfied with that? And in fact, when I was done, after I explored that for, I mean, I'm talking 30 seconds, maybe or so worth of exploration, I realized, you know what I wish I had done was cut the thing in half and put half away and had that later in the afternoon, because it was very sweet. And I realized that not only did I have plenty there, but I had more than I needed to be satisfied. And so often what I do with those cases is probably the next time I get one, I'm going to cut the thing in half and put it away, and I can enjoy it now. And then knowing that it's there later, I can thoroughly enjoy it twice. During the day.
Because you were waking yourself up, you were curious and you learned. And
exactly.
It's if you cannot discipline yourself again, it's not Duncan again, you know, this needs digging deeper into, because it's not about discipline. You know, in terms of, yes, it is about responsibility, and there is an element of discipline and boundaries, etc. But that should be more around, you know, maybe timings of meals and sticking to a balance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's not about discipline. It's much more about listening to your body. It's about learning all of those strategies that mean that you're recognizing your hunger, you're recognizing your fullness, you are knowing when you're satisfied emotionally as well as physically. You're understanding what kind of food you love and you enjoy. Do you like crunch? Do you like soft? Do you like sweet? Do you like savory? You know, it's understanding yourself, and it's also, you know, it's about understanding what we know, you know, knowing, integrating what we know about good nutrition with what we know about ourselves. And if we're constantly trying to be hard on ourselves, to discipline ourselves, we're not learning anything. You know, we need to be curious. We need to be curious about what's driving our eating, rather than judgmental. And you've used words like restriction, failure, discipline, okay, Duncan? And I want you to think more about being curious, being inquisitive, showing your body respect, because it should be about respect and not rules. I scrambled some rice with sardines for lunch.
And those food cravings, I mean, ironically, one of the best ways to deal with food cravings is to eat the food that you're craving. And that may sound counterintuitive, and it certainly goes against traditional diet mentality, but it's called habituation. And it's basically you're getting to a point where it's become almost no big deal. Like me eating that honey bun this morning, it literally was no big deal to me. I know I can have sweets anytime that I want them. Anytime that I want to have something sweet, I know I've given myself 100% permission to do that. And I can even do it on a day that I don't work out. I can do it on a day when I only get 3,000 steps in because I am sitting in front of the TV watching football. I can do it anytime that I want. The reason I don't do it is because I don't always want something sweet. Sometimes I pick something savory over it. And it's because of that mindset shift. And it may sound bizarre, and that may just not even make any sense. But when you go through the process of like intuitive eating, there's a number of things that we go through that process that helps you get to this place where I eat scrambled eggs and oatmeal every morning because I actually like them. And also because of what they do for my body, that if I were to eat a honey bun every morning, I don't feel as good. And so I'm eating in a way that helps me to feel better and energized physically. But at the same time, I also enjoy those things that just taste really good too. And it's wild, you know, when you take away that taboo or that forbiddenness of it, you think about like, you know, when you're a kid and your parents didn't want you to date a certain person and they're like making it very clear. And what do? You rebel and out of spite. You're like, I'm going to go after that bad girl, that bad boy or whatever, just to spite my parents. We do the same thing with food.
Right. 2 points here, right? Absolutely, Jeff. Spot on the money. And Duncan, you cannot trick your body.
Yeah,
okay? Drinking water is not going to trick your body. I mean, you do, yes, listen to your cravings, understand your cravings. It's not an, you know, where's the craving coming from? Is the craving also, like Jeff said, eat the food and you'll crave it less. Mm-hmm. Is the craving also coming from not getting enough food previously? Are you getting enough protein? Are you getting enough fiber? Are you getting enough fats in your diet? If not, this was one of the comments that, you know, then that's maybe where the craving is coming from, because you're not satisfying your body. So now, and then the thing is that if you're not satisfying your body with, you know, with foods that are physically satiating, your body is then going to go, damn this, I want something more calorific to try and, you know, counteract this restriction. Okay, so it is so psychological. It's not physical, it's psychological. And going back to that, Jeff, guess what? My mum was absolutely mortified when she found out I was going out when we were 17, 16. And I remember her saying to me, you're not going out with that boy. And I was like, I am going out with that boy. Look where that ended up.
Yeah.
Worst sport in history.
Yep.
Anyway. on that note, anyway, I've got some celebrations to do, hopefully, today.
Yes.
I'm waiting for some news that it's all over. And I'm going out for pizza tonight. And I was thinking about it this morning. The most liberating feeling this morning was waking up not thinking I've got to starve myself all day because I'm going out for pizza tonight. You know, no, I'm going to eat well today. I'm going to eat my breakfast. I'm going to eat my lunch. Because then if I do, I know that I'm not. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. That's another topic again. But
yeah.
So anyway, we've gone slightly over on time, but hopefully if anybody's watching, that's not an issue. Because you obviously can leave at any point. But...
Exactly. If you don't like it, just leave.
So, although we hope not, we hope it's been interesting enough that people have enjoyed it. If you are watching still now and you haven't commented, just say goodbye so we know, because I never know who is watching or if anyone is. If you're watching the replay, then please hashtag replay. We are going to upload this onto the podcast as well, aren't we, Jeff? Mm-hmm. Yep. I did share, if anybody's interested, I've been sharing the podcast and these trainings via my email list. So if anybody wants to be added to my email list, then please do just drop me a message, because I usually send them out. I'm sending them out that way. I do sometimes share them in posts, but they often get missed because I post a lot. So if you want it in your inbox, then just message me and I will send that right over to you. I sent the last week's training, I think, yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway, anything you want to add there or finish off with, Jeff?
No, I think that was a great discussion.
Me too. I'm off to open the champagne now.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll probably write a post to say why, but yeah. Anyway, thank you everybody for watching. Thank you so much for your comments and your interaction. If anything has resonated, you know where we are. Mm-hmm. And I am offering free discovery calls if anyone wants to dig a bit deeper on anything. So thank you very much. And we will see you on our next live.